Today's text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 33 through 41. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. In verse 38, we see that when Jesus shed blood and died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the door leading into the most holy place was opened. This symbolizes that the tearing of Jesus' body opened the gates of heaven and created a way for sinners to approach the throne of God's grace in heaven. As believers, we now have access to the throne of God and can live in fellowship with God the Father as His sons, just as Jesus did. This new life allows us to love and offer ourselves to God the Father and to Jesus, who both loved us and sacrificed for us. This is the kind of worship we can offer in faith in Christ. In verse 39, we encounter a centurion who believed in Jesus while watching the entire process of Jesus' suffering and death. Mark chapter 15, verse 39, "Breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" When Jesus was crucified and died, darkness came over the whole land. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me?" And finally gave up his life. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The centurion who stood facing Jesus on the cross saw his death and said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." In the Gospel of Mark, this centurion was the first to confess Jesus as the Son of God by faith. In Mark chapter 8, Peter confessed, "You are the Christ." And this centurion was someone who realized and acknowledged Jesus' divinity by confessing Jesus as the Son of God. In Luke chapter 23, verse 47, this centurion also confessed that Jesus was truly a righteous man, not only the Son of God, but also a completely sinless and righteous man. This centurion who led Jesus' execution was a Gentile, a Roman. It is remarkable that in the darkest hour of Jesus' death, when his disciples had abandoned and denied him, this centurion confessed his faith in Jesus. It is difficult to comprehend this change of heart except through the amazing grace of God. Despite having executed many death sentences and crucified the most wicked sinners, the centurion recognized that Jesus' death was unlike any other. Even when Jesus was first falsely accused and tried before Pilate, he did not defend himself but quietly gave himself up. When he was crucified as an innocent man and was mocked and despised by sinners, he prayed for sinners. The darkness that came when Jesus died, the cry that Jesus cried out when he died, and the love and forgiveness that he testified to even until his death, all reveal the true light that was revealed in that darkness. The amazing grace finally opened the gates of heaven and allowed sinners to enter by being abandoned by God. Even if the centurion did not fully realize the grace of the gospel of the cross that all of these testified to, we can see that the light of the gospel of the cross and the love of the cross illuminated his darkness, and he came out of the darkness into the light and confessed his faith in Jesus as the Son of God. This confession is an amazing confession of faith. This centurion is testifying to Jesus with his own mouth, just as God himself testified to Jesus. Mark chapter 1 verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark chapter 1 verse 11, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Mark chapter 15 verse 39, and when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." The entire gospel testifies that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing and confessing Jesus as the Son of God is central to our salvation. Throughout the history of salvation and the scriptures, God testifies about his Son. Through faith, we participate in this testimony by confessing and testifying about Jesus as the Son of God. When Jesus died, the centurion gave testimony about Jesus as the Son of God. Those who make this confession of faith enter heaven, opened by Jesus' blood. Although it may not be visible in worldly reality, the centurion is blessed and spiritually entered heaven through the torn curtain when Jesus died. Additionally, there were other saints of faith who witnessed these events besides the centurion. Mark chapter 15 verse 40 and 41. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now, all of Jesus' disciples denied him, abandoned him, and ran away. However, the women who followed and served Jesus stayed until the end. They watched from afar the entire scene of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. Mary Magdalene was the first to come out. She was a woman living in Magdala, where Jesus had previously cast out a demon from her. Luke chapter 8 verse 2. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. If you go to chapter 20 of John, you'll find that Mary Magdalene was the first woman to visit Jesus' tomb on the day after the Sabbath following his resurrection, and she was also the first person to encounter the resurrected Jesus. John chapter 20 verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then there is Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Sometimes Joseph is interpreted as Joseph, which then leads to the interpretation that Mary is the mother of James and Joseph. Some people consider James and Joseph to be Jesus' brothers, suggesting that this Mary is Jesus' mother. If we look at Mark 6, we find that James and Joseph are indeed counted as Jesus' brothers. Mark chapter 6 verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. The presence of Mary, the mother of Jesus, during the crucifixion is clear. However, it is uncertain whether this Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, is the same Mary who is the mother of Jesus. Some consider her to be the mother of James, the son of Alphaeus, who was one of Jesus' disciples. It's important to note that among Jesus' disciples, there were two Jameses, James the elder, the son of Zebedee, and the older brother of John, and James the younger, the son of Alphaeus. Mary is considered to be the mother of the younger James. This incident can also be found in Matthew chapter 27, where she is referred to as Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Matthew chapter 27 verses 55 and 56. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Finally, Salome appears. If we connect this to the Gospel of Matthew that we just read, this woman can be said to be the mother of Zebedee's sons, that is, the mother of John and James. Mark chapter 3, verse 17. James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. These women were present when Jesus was crucified. As we read in the Gospel of John, Mary, Jesus' mother, and John, one of Jesus' disciples, were present. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. We witness Jesus on the cross speaking to Mary and John, saying, "Behold your son, behold your mother," establishing a new heavenly family relationship. Also in today's passage, verse 41 mentions that there were many other women who followed and served Jesus in Galilee, as well as women who came up to Jerusalem with Jesus. What does this tell us? It indicates that a new era is dawning because of Jesus' death. The eternal kingdom of God, heaven, is beginning. How can we be certain of this? Who was present with Jesus on the cross, beside him, gazing at him, professing their faith in Jesus, and ministering to him? The Gentile centurion and the women. Through this, we see the most holy and blessed people who are called to serve God in the closest proximity to the throne of God. This is because the cross was Jesus' throne revealed on this earth, and he will soon ascend to the throne of heaven through resurrection. Those who served Jesus near the cross of suffering, which is the throne of Jesus on this earth, will eventually live serving Jesus near the throne of heaven. This is such an amazing grace. Why is that? In the Old Testament, Gentiles were unclean foreigners to the kingdom of God and were considered the people of Satan. Women in the Old Testament could not serve God near him either. This can be clearly confirmed in the reality of the temple where God's glory was present. Gentiles, even if they were circumcised and converted to Judaism, could not enter the temple and had to stay in the court of the Gentiles outside the temple and worship God from afar. Women, even if they were located inside rather than in the court of the Gentiles, still had to stay in the court of the women outside the temple and worship God from afar. These Gentiles and women on the cross that was Jesus' earthly throne were looking at Jesus and serving him from a closer place than the high priest who killed Jesus, the Jews who mocked him, and the disciples who abandoned and ran away from him. And in the end, only by the grace of Jesus, these Gentiles and women became citizens of heaven along with the disciples who can serve God together near his throne. Acts chapter 1 verses 13 and 14. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and the Mary the mother of Jesus. Before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' disciples, women, and even Jesus' family all became citizens of heaven and worshiped God together without difference. This signifies the beginning of the new kingdom of God through the death of Jesus. With the arrival of the Holy Spirit, all Gentiles are called to be God's people. When Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, signifying a new era in which Gentiles and women, without distinction, can all come before the throne of God in heaven and worship him together in the closest place to God's throne. In essence, all the saints who are saved in Jesus, regardless of whether they are men or women, Gentiles or Israelites, become holy priests of heaven through the blood of Jesus and live forever in front of the throne of God in heaven, serving him. Revelation chapter 1, 5 and 6. To him who loves us, has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. I said to him, Sir, you know, and he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. The blessed reality of heaven is exemplified through the Gentile centurion and the many women who professed their faith and looked upon Jesus while surrounding the cross. In today's text, verse 41 states that these women followed and served Jesus all the way to the cross. This illustrates true discipleship as described by Jesus when he said, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. These women can be seen as true disciples of Jesus as they followed him to the cross. When Jesus is resurrected, ascends to heaven, and sits on the throne of glory, they will also follow Jesus to the throne and live in the closest place to serve him. Therefore, the Apostle Paul proclaims the blessed reality of the kingdom of God that Jesus accomplished through his death. Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In Christ, there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile, male or female. All are God's people and heirs to the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we are called to share in Jesus' suffering in order to also share in his glory. We are called to serve Jesus, who is seated on the throne of heaven, and we will live with him for eternity. And we are also called to follow Jesus closely, even to the point of death, just as he suffered on the cross. How far are you willing to follow Christ? Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Therefore, just as the centurion and the women looked at Jesus in today's text, we too must look at Jesus on the cross. And we too must hear the voice of Jesus who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We must look at Jesus who was cut off from the Father's infinite love and receive the judgment of infinite wrath for our sake. We must hear the voice of Jesus who said, I have finished it all. He paid the price for our sins, forgave us all our sins, and completely accomplished our salvation. And we must look at God who tore the curtain that led to his heavenly throne by tearing his son on the cross and opened the gate of heaven. At that time, we must hear the voice of God the Father who said, Come up here. At that time, the darkness will retreat from us and the true light will shine, and we too will joyfully confess to Jesus, Christ the Son of God and my only Savior. And we will boldly go before the throne of grace and live forever, loving Jesus and serving God. May this amazing grace be bestowed upon all the saints, centurions, and all the women who have been called to this place of worship. Amen.